Morning. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, John.
Now, I wanted to ask, in conjunction with this conference, you wrote a very interesting piece in The Conversation, which was intriguingly entitled, Why Australian Women Over 55 Aren't Exactly Enjoying the Time of Their Lives. And in the article, you say that gender inequalities women have experienced throughout their lives become even more pronounced as they grow older, and that Australia lags behind most other developed countries when it comes to the economic and social well-being of an aging female population. Now, that's a big bit of a mouthful, but could you unpack some of that for us?
Yes, I could. First of all, the title of this report is, I suppose, tongue-in-cheek, because people expect that older people, older women in particular, are going to be having a great time as we get older, perhaps retired from the workforce, perhaps shedding some of our responsibilities, looking forward to all those beautiful pictures, those glossy pictures in the perhaps insurance brochures and the banks show, you know, couples on the beach, travelling, etc. So that's, first of all, why we ask the question, are older women actually, is this actually the time of our lives? And I include myself in that. Let me unpack it. So you asked, you know, some of the issues around here is that there's a whole range of circumstances and experience of a lifetime, and we don't just get old one day. We grow older, obviously. This is, you know, pretty obvious. But we bring with us a whole range of circumstances, whether they're health over our lifetime, working histories, social, personal, etc. We bring those with us into our older years. And we, as I said, people expect that everything will be fine. We'll get on with our lives, but our past histories and experiences, education, etc., opportunities, all ripple together to create the ageing experience, and particularly for older women. So it's really important to understand a life trajectory when you want to understand how the quality of someone's life and experiences as they age, particularly in the older years.
And
about 55.
Yeah, in this article you said that, and I thought this was a very interesting point, you said that Australia is a very wealthy country. It ranks very highly up there. But when it comes to policies dealing with the aging population, particularly aging female population, we drop way, way down the scale, and Australia is well behind. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, just let me backtrack a tiny, tiny bit. When we think about growing older and we talk about aging in this country and indeed in other countries, it's been fairly traditional, and it remains so, that we talk about, always link aged care. We always think about aged care. So aged care, the cost of aged care, the use of aged care, the lack of aged care is on everybody's agenda, high on policy agendas as well. And we're seeing big changes right now in the aged care services and how they're going to be organised, etc. We don't, once again, have a look at ageing, the experience of ageing. So, again, these statistics are very scary because, in fact, it's the circumstances of people's lives, such as housing, access to affordable housing. This is one of the most incredibly important aspects of life. And in this country, we're very, very poor at providing affordable housing for both young and older people, decent public housing, and especially as you age, your needs change. And particularly as you age, for women, they may be living alone. So we really are falling behind in Australia and from the rest of the world in terms of what we can provide older women in terms of security in their older age, income security. Well, I suppose in many ways we would say, okay, we have a terrific pension system, don't we? Other countries don't have pension systems, don't have welfare nets, etc. but we are still falling behind for it. What do we call it now? Developed country, industrialized country, modern, whatever it is. Mm. We're not meeting the demand for people to live with adequate income in their older years. We're just not doing it. We're falling behind, particularly, as I mentioned, housing. Number one, housing, affordable housing, appropriate housing. So some of these measures, and I'm not a statistician, but I can tell you, and so I can't unpack the actual details of how these numbers are got to, but I know that housing, health, will be up there to push that number up to 67 for income security. Very insecure for older people if they have to rely on the pension. And the other thing is we're seeing with a great fiddling of superannuation. Now, that's a big debate about whether, you know, having a $1.2 million entitles you to government benefits. That's a whole other debate. But older women, older women in particular, because of their income and work history, do not have enough money, capital, income to get them through older age, and that's what pushes these figures up. The actual money you have to live on. Yeah.
Susan, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you've been involved in a study that you published recently that deals with some of these things, and you found a complex of what your study basically is dealing with was where these disadvantages come from. There's some of them are social, some of them are economic.
Yeah.
You've touched on a few of them. What are some of the other ones that that basically are structural that lead women into these disadvantaged positions?
Well, yes, that's right. It's a complex web. And I must say my study was a literature review. And you think, oh, well, you know, what's a literature review going to show you? First of all, it showed me and my research partner was that women and disaggregated data looking at men and women, so taking a gendered approach to the data, and I'm talking from the biggest, God bless us, the ABS down, does not necessarily disaggregate data based on age. It's 65 plus, or it's 55 plus, or gender. And the most major reports are not paying attention to the specific circumstances of women and indeed men and compare them. So it's older people. So in terms of the gaps in the data, which leads to some of our ignorance, we need to go back into the data and say, is there a difference for men and for women as they age? And across the cohorts of age, a 75-year-old is not like a 55-year-old. An 80-year-old is nothing like a 65-year-old in terms of life experience. So we come to some of the more structural issues. Well, work, as I mentioned briefly, the capacity, the willingness, but mostly the opportunity to continue to work in some form is incredible, underpins people's capacity for cash in hand. It may not make a huge difference to the superannuation pot if you've only got 5 years to work, but older women have a lot of pressures from family responsibilities these days, and people more and more are giving the younger members of their family financial assistance, and I guess people who are maybe listening to this and even yourself, in an extended family, younger people have different needs, and older people are often the family members who come to the assistance. And there's documents everywhere. Also, the caring responsibilities. Now, these play a really large role in an older person, an older woman's capacity to work.
Yes.
And we know that women might go part-time because they say, I can't continue to work and assist my aging parent, or I can't continue to work and assist my children with their children. So these flexible work that is taking account of changing life circumstances for an older person, whether it be a man or a woman. Also the serious nature of people's endeavour. People Many people want to continue working in good work. They want to be paid well. They might even want a career.
Sure.
Or they might want to come back to work. That's one issue. We're really not very good. We're just not really good.
Can I just continue with your study and just something that struck me when I was reading your article in the conversation was when you did the study, you actually asked participants to give you some ideas about what they would like to happen. And one of the things that struck me that was very interesting was that the women that you interviewed talked a lot about new technologies, giving them opportunities to do things. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that's a very intriguing way of thinking about things, that they were talking about using online technologies to help them in employment, in their social relations and so on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think when you talk about older people and particularly older women, people are quite surprised, I guess. Surprised about that older people would care about modern technologies. Well, people create jobs or work from home. That was one of the biggest issues. You can work from your home, and many, many, many members of our community do. Why shouldn't older people, older women, be connected through the technology to continue their work, whatever it is, and their contribution to employment through being at home, not being in the office, in other words? The other issue that we know about is in enterprise, in small business. And there are, you know, many, many older people. In fact, I think we even looked at this, the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in inverted commas. It could be from, I don't know, bottling something to creating something artistically to a real employment agency, et cetera, et cetera. These are women. People are wanting to continue working and they're becoming more entrepreneurial. I don't mean big bucks either. I just mean people who've got skills. So using the technology is one way. From doing it at home, doing it in groups of people who develop networks, as young people do. Young people use Facebook and Instagram and everything else. These are communication tools, and older people use them as well. Mm. But one of the big ones for older people to continue to communicate when perhaps they're not physically very well is through Skype and a lot of the online communication tools to communicate with family. And friends, and we mustn't ever underestimate the value of these communication tools for lessening isolation or people's feelings of isolation, depression, just being out of the social activities of their family makes a huge difference to people. But just to go back, and it's around information. So technology provides people with up-to-date information, and it's not just sitting on a computer alone. There are many. There are some examples in Melbourne already of a group of older people who are trying to form their own businesses. There's a couple of great social enterprises where people come together to learn about the technology, get assistance for setting up large technological innovations beyond my capacity, being engaged with younger people to assist if that's necessary, but also it's the stuff we do every day, like the banking, anything you have to pay online. Well, it's a really important strategy for older people to be able to engage with this technology really well. You can't go into a bank anymore, and if you want to do some even simple negotiations like pay a bill, you need to understand this. But if you want to be a bit more complicated about this and you want to do some communications, or people pay the stock exchange. Whether they're rich or, you know, whether they have limited income, they do stock exchange stuff online. Good luck to them. But this, you need to understand the technology.
Susan, we're going to have to leave it at that point, but it's been fascinating talking to you. And I wanted to ask if people listening want to get a bit more information and particularly find out about the study that you did, where would they go to find that?
That's available online through the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation website. So they just look at online, I think it's, you know, LMCF or Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation, and the whole report sits there on their website.
Yeah, we'll put that on our website as well so people can access that. I want to thank you very much. It's early morning Saturday, and I want to thank you so much for participating in Solidarity Breakfast this morning.
Thank you, John.
Talking there with Adjunct Associate Professor Susan Feldman from Monash University, who's a specialist in women's health. And the title of the study that we were talking about is Time of Our Lives? Building Opportunity and Capacity for the Economic and Social Participation of Older Australian Women. And as she said, it's available online.